We're going to continue this evening with a new parable. I hope you're enjoying the parables of Christ so far. And if you're like me, sometimes you've read over a parable and thought to yourself, well, I think I understand what the Lord is saying, but I've got a feeling there's more to it. And remember, when the Lord spoke forth these parables, the ones who were meant to not understand them were the unbelieving religious crowd. Remember? They would not have ears to hear or eyes to see. They were the ones who were not to understand them. But for God's people, we are meant to understand them. Amen. They're truths for us. And a great portion of Christ's teaching is in parables. So we need to know what the Lord means. Amen. So tonight we're looking at the parable of the wheat and the tares. The parable of the wheat and the tares. Let's look this evening at Matthew chapter number 13. Look with me at verse 24, and we'll just briefly read down to verse 30. Matthew chapter 13 in your Bibles. There are too many verses to include in your notes in this series, so please look with me in your Bibles. Matthew chapter number 13, beginning in verse 24, the Lord says, "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. When the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst not thou sow good seed in thy field? From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servants said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up? But he said, Nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn." Let's pray. Lord, we need your leading, we need your wisdom and understanding as we look at this important truth, Lord, this evening. Lord, we pray for the filling and the leading of your Holy Spirit. Lord, may you be glorified as your truth is declared. But more importantly, Lord, may your word take hold of our hearts and our lives. Help us to live according to what you want to teach us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, this parable here, the parable of the wheat and the tares, is another wonderful and amazing descriptive spiritual truth. Now, the multitudes, as they heard this parable, were dismissed. And then we pick up in verse 37. Notice there, in verse 36, the multitudes went away. And notice what the disciples said at the end of verse 36. "Declare unto us this parable, the parable of the tares of the field." So notice a few parables were described after the Lord described the parable of the wheat and the tares, and then he goes on to describe it a few parables later. So sometimes you need to read a bit further on, and the Lord explains it to his disciples when they get him alone, and maybe they're a bit embarrassed and they say, "Lord, what did that mean? Can you please explain it to us?" Briefly, let's look at the Lord's explanation to understand what the Lord is saying. So, notice what he says in verse 37. "He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man." So Christ is the farmer. He's the sower, sowing the good seed. 38. "Now the field is the world." The field is the world. That's important. The field is the world. "The good seed," what is that? "Are the children of the kingdom." Now you remember last week, what did the seed represent? It represented the... Last week we looked at the parable of the soils. What did the seed represent? It represented the Word of God. In this parable, it does not represent God's Word. It represents the effect of God's Word, if you will. Those who are saved, the children of the kingdom. When you are born again, when you repent of your sins and put your faith in Christ once and for all for salvation, you are born again into the kingdom. Remember John chapter 3, verse 3? "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So the children of the kingdom are saved, born again Christians. But the tares, the weeds, are the children of the wicked one, unsaved, unregenerate. We'll say more about that in a moment. Now the enemy, who is the enemy that sowed these tares or this weed into the wheat field? The enemy is, verse 39, the devil. The devil. The harvest at the end is the end day's harvest at the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. So the Lord explains to us what all these different parts of the parable mean. Wow. What an amazing lesson. What an amazing parable. And this is why these parables are so exciting. What is the Lord seeking to teach us? All right, I hope you've got your seat belts buckled and you're ready to go. Roman numeral number one, the wheat and the tares. The wheat and the tares. Your first blank is the word wheat. Now, this is the focus of the parable, the wheat and the tares. Notice verse 25, back in Matthew chapter 13, verse 25. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. Now, this story is not a happy one. It's, in fact, a tragic one. A farmer is passionately sowing his field. Passionately sowing his field, and while he's sowing his field with wheat, and while he is sleeping, the enemy comes. Now the enemy comes and sows a different kind of seed, a seed of tares. Now tares are weed-like plants that look identical to wheat at the beginning. They look like wheat when they're planted. They look like wheat as they sprout. They look like wheat as they grow, but when they bear fruit, it comes to view that is not wheat at all. In fact, it's a poisonous weed-like plant, and in fact, the word tares literally means false grain. False grain. Until the fruit comes out. And so, the wheat and the tares, the difference is the good seed, or the wheat, are saved, born-again Christians, children of the kingdom. The tares are children of the wicked one. But be careful, God is not saying that the tares are simply unsaved people. Unsaved people. Because unsaved people do not look like saved people. They do not look like Christians. God is being very specific here when he speaks about the tares, because the tares look like wheat until the fruit appears on the tares, and they reveal themselves to be nothing but a poisonous weed type plant planted in an act of deception by the enemy. And the one main truth in this parable describes the apostasy of the last days. That's what this parable describes. In the world there is true Christianity and there is false apostate Christianity. There is that which is true, a born-again Christian living according to the truth, and then there is false Christianity. And the deception is so fierce that the children of the wicked one look so much like God's children that in the end, only the angels will be able to fully separate them when the judgment time comes. That's how fierce the deception is. You see, the Lord was telling his disciples, well, this is the reality. As you go out and excitedly preach the gospel, people will be saved. But be careful, not everyone that claims to be a Christian, not everyone that claims Christ as their Savior is genuinely born again. The devil is at work putting his operators in place, pretending to be Christians, that will ultimately show their fruits by their false teaching, by their error. You see, the Lord was warning his disciples of the apostasy that was already taking place in his day. You know, as we think about the Christian life, the Lord says, lift your eyes up, look on the fields, for they are white unto harvest. And we need to be out there witnessing, don't we? We need to be out there sowing the seed of the gospel and looking to reach souls for Christ. But we have a battle today on two fronts. We are to witness, but we are also to watch. The Lord said to his disciples, don't be gullible, don't be deceived, lift your eyes up, look on the fields. There are tares also in the fields. And that's a shocking truth, isn't it? Absolutely. You know, let's be honest. As Christians, we can be pretty gullible. Amen? We can. So often as Christians, we assume just because someone is in a church, just because they claim to be a Christian, even if they give a salvation testimony, that they're genuinely saved. The Lord says that's not the case. In fact, the devil is at work deceiving the world through false Christianity. The tares, identical to the wheat until they are exposed for what they are. Now, let me just take a side note here. When it comes to this parable, the main truth is true Christianity and false Christianity identified, but there is a reason why it's important to not take for granted that someone's saved. Just because someone says they're a Christian, don't take it for granted. You need to ask some questions. Ask them how they got saved, what kind of church they got saved in. And let me add this. This is why at Coastline Baptist Church, we'll continue to preach the gospel whether we have visitors or not. I will continue to declare the gospel because we just don't know who has not been saved but thinks they're a Christian. But the application here is those who are seeking to deceive. Those who are seeking to deceive. The deception of the tares is a work of the devil, Satan. It's not just talking about an unsaved person. An unsaved person is not the devil's agent of deception. The false Christian is the agent of deception. So the wheat and the tares, we've identified what the wheat is, what the tares are. Notice secondly, the world will not be saved. That's your next blank. The world will not be saved. Your next blank is the word world. Notice verse number 40, Matthew 13 verse 40, as therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of the world. So the Lord describes the fact that the judgment is coming, and that when that judgment comes, there will be those tares bundled together, cast into the lake of fire. I read recently that one Christian described the fact that the bundling is already taking place. The judgment has not come, but the bundling is taking place. Churches are uniting into this one world church, this ecumenical movement, where doctrinal differences are shifted aside and anything is accepted for the sake of love and unity. But in the Bible tells us, very importantly, that the world will not be saved. Now, we don't rejoice in this truth. God does not rejoice in the fact that not everyone will be saved. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the Lord was saying to his disciples, don't be gullible. Don't be deceived, because not everyone's going to be saved. Not everyone that calls themselves a Christian is a Christian. Now, I've added this point for a reason, because there is a teaching today among the ecumenical liberal church movement that we need to unite together with every other kind of Christian church in order to accomplish a worldwide salvation. If we do not join together with them, then they claim that the world will not see Christ in the world, and therefore they will not be saved. And guess who are the bad guys? The ones who separate. Independent Baptists are the ones who are bigoted, divisive, obnoxious, legalistic. Any of these words are what we are called by, unloving. And they say, if you don't join together, the world sees a divided Christianity. And how can people get saved? And the Lord wants to save the world. Well, the Bible tells us very clearly, first of all, the Lord Jesus Christ said not everyone's going to be saved. That is a false teaching. The emerging church is teaching this idea that we can bring the kingdom of God upon this earth by our actions. No, the Bible says the kingdom of God will come down from above, not from underneath. Amen? Absolutely. But see, the world will not be saved. So we need to have a biblical viewpoint on what we believe. We need to be careful about being gullible in this holding hands movement where churches are joining together. God says, don't compromise to reach the lost. That's what he says. We need to be careful. Because remember, Not everyone who says they're a Christian is a Christian. We don't mind joining with Grace Baptist Church in a combined outreach effort. I've got no problem with taking our teenagers up to them to be involved with their camp ministry. Amen. We preach the same gospel. We don't teach that in order to be saved, you have to be baptized. We don't teach that in order to know that you are one of God's children, you have to speak in tongues. We don't teach that. We don't teach that you can lose your salvation and that you can never be sure you're saved. You just need to maintain your Christian life, and hopefully when you'll get there in the end without losing it just before you breathe your last breath. We don't teach these erroneous teachings, but just these few things I've mentioned is present in almost every church that calls themselves a Christian denominationally, that is gathering together with one another. 7 years of door knocking, I was absolutely astounded how many Anglicans, Uniting Church folk, Lutherans, Presbyterians could not give me one single clear reason why they thought they were saved and how that happened. All of it was based upon works, based upon good works, being a good person, going to church, being baptized, being raised a Christian. How many times I've met people that were so confused. The confusion is a result of the tares. The tares are being sown and false teaching is being preached. And let me say this, in the parable of the wheat and the tares do not produce wheat. Wheat produces wheat. Amen. Wheat reproduces and produces more wheat. Amen. As Christians, we go out and we preach the gospel and more. But don't be deceived. Tares do not produce wheat. They produce more tares. So if a church is apostate, you might say, well, Pastor, something might come out of that. That's good. That's not true. That is not true. We need to be careful not to be deceived, because ultimately the tree is rotten, and really it's only a supernatural intervention of God where someone can be saved and brought out of that. God is merciful. But he said to disciples, don't be deceived. There are tares. Now let me quickly point this out before we move on to our last point. Notice verse 28, Matthew 13. The servants of the master said, well, we can see the tares. Should we uproot them? Should we take them out? Should we get rid of them? Now, the Lord said, no, leave them until the harvest time. Leave them until the end. Now, the Lord was not saying that if there is error in the church, don't deal with it. He wasn't saying that. What did we learn so far? The field is the world, not the church. The field is not the church. The field is the world. What was the Lord saying? He was saying that our mission as Christians is not to dethrone the Pope. Amen? We're not to go rallying and picketing around the Vatican City saying, you believe in a false gospel. Amen? But we need to know what the error is. And what do we need to do? We need to keep it out of our church. Let me tell you, apostasy will not end until the time of reaping and judgment. It will not end. That's what the Lord is saying. But he did not say if there's error in the church, it's to be left there, untouched and unrooted. No, in the Christian church, in the house of God, God tells us we need to uproot that error immediately, as soon as it's seen for what it is. That's just a little side note. I hope you don't mind me adding that. You might wonder what the Lord was saying when he said, leave it there, don't uproot it. Lastly, the work of Satan. There in your notes, the work of Satan. Ultimately, this is the work of Satan. 38 to 39, the field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. Let's ask this question tonight. What is the greatest, most deceptive work of the devil against God today? Is it alcohol? Is it drugs? Is it prostitution? Is it pornography? We would all agree that these are all vile and wicked practices that have corrupted mankind over every generation. But the Lord tells us this is not the most diabolical and deceptive work of the devil. The worst work that the devil does is to sow false Christians among true Christians. False Christianity, apostasy. What is the Lord saying? He's saying this. The greatest deceptive work of the devil is a pastor behind the pulpit. A pastor with a winning smile that wins over hearts. A pastor that has a $1 million smile and a $1 million way of presenting messages. A pastor that speaks eloquently. I couldn't even say that properly. Eloquently. Amen? I didn't mean that either. A pastor that speaks eloquently. Without one flaw in his message, where hearts are drawn to him. And it sounds so right, and it sounds so good, and it sounds so motivational, and there may even be some truth mixed in there just to distract you from the fact that it is not according to the Word of God. That is the greatest work of deception of the devil in the world today. And some of us as Christians, we are absolutely gullible to this fact. We try to protect our families and our own lives from things like pornography and wickedness and vileness of all kind of thing. But when it comes to false teaching, how careless can you and I be? What about the friends we hang around with and the invitations we accept and the things we allow ourselves to hear and to watch, just assuming just because they say they're Christian, they're genuinely Christian? The Lord said to his disciples, no way, you need to be on guard. The tares will look like the wheat until they're fully grown. Then you will see what they are. And you need to be on guard. They start off looking like wheat. They grow up looking like wheat, but then they're exposed. Matthew 24, verse 5 in your notes, the Lord said, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ. What's the next word? And shall deceive many. Shall deceive many. How do we make sure we're not deceived? Well, we need to check. We need to try the spirits, amen? You might say, hey, that person says they're a Christian. Well, try the spirits. Is it the Spirit of God leading him when what he's saying? Or is it the spirit of the devil? How do you know? Well, you try the spirits by the Word of God. The Word of God. We need to test everything by God's Word. Amen? Absolutely. If it is according to the Word of God, then we know that it is the truth. Is it the right spirit? And the most deadly work of the devil is that which is closest to the truth and yet so contrary to the truth. They may use words like salvation, they may use words like born again, but I guarantee you the gospel of the emerging church is a different gospel. It is a gospel that does not require repentance. It's a gospel call to the Lord. Come to heaven. Come to the kingdom. Come to Jesus. He's standing there open wide. He wants to save you. He wants to give you a brand new life. He wants to welcome you into his kingdom. He loves you. Come now. Don't wait. Again and again and again. And someone's pumped up by the music just enough to get down to the front. And then that person proclaims them saved. When there's no repentance that takes place, there's no sorrow over sin. There's just this idea that God's inviting us to come as we are. And we can just grab a ticket to heaven if we simply come down the front. My friends, it's another gospel, another spirit. And we need to be careful as Christians on what we delve into, where we allow our families to go, whom we associate with. Because remember, the wheat mingles with the tares in order to choke the wheat, in order to deceive. We need to be on guard. Now, simply on Sunday night, as I close, what are we doing on Sunday night? What are we doing on Sunday night? We are exposing the tares. That's what we're doing. If you want to give it another title on Sunday night, Apostasy of the Last Days, we are exposing the tares. This is one of the most important series in our church. The Lord said the tares are there, but what are they? If we don't know what they are, we'll be the next one to be deceived. What are they? We need to know, don't we? We need to know. Throughout this part of the year, we're going to continue to look at what these tares are. What's being taught? What is this apostasy? Let me encourage you to come. Make sure you don't get drawn in by the last day's deception. Let me encourage you with this. Thank God for the church that we're in, amen? We are not perfect, amen? By any means. But thank God apostasy has not seeped into the fabric of this church, the bloodline of this church. Thank God for what we have. You ought to come to Coastline Baptist Church just thanking the Lord you're not lost and confused in religion today. Amen. Not in your sins out in the world, but in religion, in false teaching. Thank the Lord you can be part of a church that preaches the truth. That when we run a soul winning class on Saturday mornings, you're not going to be taught some mumbo jumbo about speaking in tongues and some weird charismatic experiences, or getting them to be dunked in the pool straight away and holding them down until they come up to and speak tongues. Thank the Lord you're not going to be confused. Amen? We should be thankful for what we have. Sometimes we come to church mourning, you know, and we're sorrowful, and we just take for granted what God has given us here in Cairns. The Lord has a plan for our church, and He's at work, and we need to be thankful for what He's given us. Thank the Lord for Coastline.